Pretty soon, Ben will answer. And then the show will start. Hey, Ben Lawrence. Oof. How's it going?
Good. I was just watching a video on YouTube where Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters pulled up some kid from the audience who's dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss. And Dave handed him his guitar. It's still going. Dave handed him his guitar, and he shreds it. They're playing Monkey Wrench, and he shreds it. And on the one hand, it's really charming because you're like, hey, that's really great that this guy can really play guitar. But on the other hand, it's like, rock stars aren't the only ones who know how to play guitar. Why is it surprising that some rando who showed up at a Foo Fighters concert in full Kiss makeup can actually play guitar?
Well, you know, you have a point. I got to say that at one point in time, Jamie Primus, who you haven't met but was a roommate of me and Andy, who's been on this podcast.
Yeah.
And I were playing a gig at a coffee shop. And it was weird experimental electronic music.
Yeah.
And, like, I had a whole bunch of effects pedals going, and a police scanner was pulling in information about crimes in the area and playing. It was an atmospheric kind of thing. And this guy asked if he could sing something. And we said, sure. And it was a song by, I believe, Scorpions. I want to say it's Winds of Change. Is that a Scorpions song? Do you know?
I do not. I can neither confirm nor deny that Winds of Change is a Scorpion song.
We're like, what have we become? Just look, we have done all that we destroy. You must build again and stuff. Anyway, it was great. It was like really, really beautiful. And then when he was done, we were like, okay. And then we just went back to the same old bullshit that we were doing. And I'm not saying that, you know, Foo Fighters are bullshit. Obviously, that's not true. But there is a danger when somebody comes up.
That they're going to be terrible.
They may.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is that they may be better than you. And then afterwards, you're like, well, here's me again. I wonder if that's ever happened. Like, is there a stand-up comic that was ever pulled up on stage, you know, because they were heckling? And they turned out to be really great.
You know, I'm sure there is a YouTube video out there somewhere of a heckler getting up and killing it.
And I believe that every heckler imagines that is eventually going to happen.
Although, I gotta say, if there is a video out there of a YouTube heckler getting up on stage and killing it, it's probably a bit.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just quickly, I'm watching this video. I mean, this isn't the first time I've seen rock stars pull people up on stage. Normally, normally it's the person can like really sing really well. Sometimes, like I saw some dude who went to a concert, and I think it was probably the Foo Fighters. Actually, I think Dave does this a lot, where he'll pull people up. And this kid that I saw can play the drums. And I, in terms of guitar, I'm like, that. I will never be able to do that. A of all, because I can't play guitar. I mean, you know, that's just self-defeating. I could learn how to play guitar, then maybe that the possibility would be there. But B of all, I'm left-handed. And a majority of your rock stars are right-handed, so I wouldn't be able to play their instruments.
Yeah. That is true. And... You know, I always thought it is possible probably for a left-handed person to play right-handed guitar.
Right.
But it's got to be, you know, because when you first start playing guitar, it's weird anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe the only thing I can think of is that somebody who plays left-handed, who's left-handed, who plays guitar right-handed might be like making chords and stuff like that. Might be easier for them because they have more manual dexterity.
I actually know a lefty who plays guitar righty.
Who is it?
It's his name is Brandon, and he was our guitarist for the Sergeant Rigsby show, and he plays guitar right-handed. And then I saw him writing, and I'm like, wait a minute, you're left-handed? And we got into this conversation about how it just feels more natural to him to play right-handed, which I think is BS. But
interesting.
Yeah. Oh, crap, I was going to say something, but I forgot what it was. Anyway, so
No!
Oh, I know what I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking about lefties who play guitar right-handed, there's actually a famous story about John Lennon and Paul McCartney where when they first met, and they were like teenagers, right? They were like 15, 16. John, yeah. like, okay, you can join my band if you play my guitar. And so Paul, who is a lefty, took John's guitar and played it upside down. He played it. I don't remember if he played it left-handed, like upside down and left-handed, or if he played it right-handed. And John, knowing that Paul was left-handed, and played a whole song. And John's like, all right, you're in my band.
Wow. So John Lennon was always a jerk. Is that basically what we're...
Yeah, that's basically it. John Lennon was always a jerk. I think that's the takeaway.
there's that thing about Ford or Edison or whoever, like, the people are talking about. Was going to hire someone to... We talked about this on the podcast before. For the regular listener, you're going to hear the same sorts of things...
Right. Well,
every
know,
once in a while,
we're on. You know, we're on episode 113 of a stream of consciousness style podcast. So yeah, we're gonna revisit topics.
It's that thing where it was like Edison or Ford or whoever was eating with somebody who he was interviewing for a job, and the man salted his food before he ate it, and Ford fired him on the spot or didn't hire him or whatever.
Because I don't remember that story, but Henry Ford was famously anti-Semitic.
Yeah. So, the point, of course, yeah, is that
never research your American heroes.
Or was Ford a hero? I guess so. Some people.
He revolutionized industry.
Yeah, I guess so. It's weird. People don't like Ford vehicles around here.
Oh, really?
Is there
a Chevy plant in town or something?
You know, I think that maybe Ford was was Ford the one that had like Japanese investors?
I couldn't tell you.
It seems like a xenophobic kind of thing. I don't want to. but there was always this thing of I'd rather push my Chevy than drive a Ford. That was like something that people used to say when I was growing up. I don't remember why.
Interesting.
Exactly. Interesting. Also, yesterday we drove some people from Seattle to the airport because there was no one else around to drive them.
I'm assuming these were friends of yours, or did you just find them on the side of the street?
No, they were friends of our friend's daughter.
Okay.
Who is also our friend, but, you know, they're all, like, high school kids. But this is the reason I'm bringing it up. We were talking about what are you going to do afterwards, and one of them is going to Cornish.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, Cornish, that's a good school.
Yeah.
And I was going to give an anecdote, but I couldn't remember what was the project that Annex was doing that had participants from Cornish. Wasn't there a thing that we did? Does that sound familiar?
Well, half the actors in this town are Cornish grads, so I'm not quite sure what you're referring to.
Man, I wish I could remember. There was something that... Maybe it wasn't Annex. Maybe it was something else. There was some project that was using students who were attending classes at Cornish.
Okay.
I guess it doesn't matter.
I don't know. I mean, the staff of Annex used to be populated by theater practitioners, teaching artists.
Yes.
And so it wouldn't surprise me. I don't remember specifically what you're talking about, but it wouldn't surprise me if somebody had decided to partner with Cornish on some project, because college kids is kind of like their wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's true. So let's see now. Seattle, so far, still going okay for you? It's all right.
Yeah, it's
right.
Great.
Okay.
I was listening to the Mariners game before you called, but they're getting their butts whooped by Houston.
Oh no!
Which I Houston is a team that I love to sports hate. And there's a difference.
Yes.
There's a difference between like hating a team and sports hating them. I respect them as a team. And
that's
And cause, you know, they won the World Series last year, and they got a lot of really great players on the team, and they went from like a 100 loss season to winning the World Series in like 3 years, which is very respectable. But I effing hate them.
Let me just show off some of my sports knowledge. That would be the Houston Astros. Am I correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And in fact,
hey!
In fact, on the same trip where Blair and I are going to be coming out to visit you and going to a Cardinals game, we're also going through Houston, and we're going to see the Mariners play in Houston versus the Astros.
That's great. You will either be horribly embarrassed or you will feel so good.
I put together a number of different itineraries for this road trip I wanted to take, and if we had left in July, then we would have caught the Mariners in Colorado, and I would have liked to see them in Colorado because the Rockies are a team that they don't play regularly, so it would be fun to see them. They play Houston like 30 times a year because they're Houston's in our division, so I'm tired of Houston.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
If they would have played the Rockies, you would probably get to see them in Mountain Time.
Yeah, I would have seen them in... Well, is Denver in Mountain Time or is Denver Central?
Oh, I don't know. Denver should be in Mountain Time, shouldn't it?
Well, it's in the mountains. It is the mile-high
exactly,
city,
right?
After all.
Why else would you call it... I mean, we'll see. But yeah, I was talking... So the reason I bring up talking to people from Seattle about it is why did you... Why did you move there? You know, and isn't it bad, you know, around here, small town, all that? And I realize that much like Superman is super on Earth, but maybe not normally, I realize that in Seattle...
He's just mad
not many
on
people,
Krypton.
Exactly, yes. Not many people, like, I don't think a lot of people thought of me as a Midwesterner, really. I didn't... necessarily seem like extremely Midwestern. I don't know if that makes sense,
you did have certain Midwestern qualities. I think the your affableness and gregariousness,
yes,
you know, willingness to talk to strangers, that's very much more of a Midwestern quality than it is in Seattle.
Oh, wait a second. Yeah, hey, look at that. I didn't even think about that, but you're right.
But
you're right.
You didn't walk around wearing a cowboy hat, driving a truck or anything like that, driving your Chevy.
Right, exactly. So this is the idea is that when I come back to this area, right?
Yeah.
I think that I have a little bit more of a tolerance to stuff that other people wouldn't, that I don't notice because I grew up here. But
tornadoes.
I will say this.
Wait, we did that last week.
I told you about that, right? The tornado that hit a warehouse and it shredded the pink insulation.
No.
So it looked like there was weird snow everywhere, and I couldn't figure it out until I realized.
Oh, yeah. Tornadoes will do that.
But
tornadoes, like John Lennon, have always been a jerk.
Exactly. John Lennon is a tornado. I failed the SATs.
He's a...
No,
I don't know how
I
they categorize. He's a Category 3 tornado.
Exactly. Is it high or low?
I think that's mid-range. I think it goes up to 5. I think 5 is when entire towns are demolished.
I learned a little while ago that the DEFCONs... and I think it was Jennifer who keyed me into this. DEFCONs... The lower the number, the more important it is.
Right.
So DEFCON 1 is the big one.
Right. I'd like to say that I learned that from the movie War Games, but honestly, I don't remember. I know they used the DEFCON rating system, but I don't remember in which direction they went. It's probably, you know, DEFCON 1 is the most in threat.
Is there a convention called DEFCON?
Sure, oh my god, I was about to make a terrible joke.
No, it's I get it. The Deftones and Defcon. How much you like that band,
there's,
Ben.
There's a Defcon,
you bring it up
but
every time.
There's a Defcon, but you've never heard of it.
See, now that. Oh no. Oh no.
Was that bad? Should I edit that out?
No, I don't think you should edit it out. I'm just, there's a...
It's underground. It's underground.
Oh, man. I almost think of another thing to say, but I can't exactly get there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I understand.
Like, I heard a, there's Maddie McCann, or Madeline McCann is a famous missing person.
Okay.
Who is presumed murdered, but, you know, it's unsure. There's a rapper, also known in Great Britain as a grime artist, whose name I cannot remember, and it's too bad. Maybe someone can correct me on his name. But he's from Great Britain, and he has a line that says, you're just like the Maddie McCann case, nobody.
Oof.
And I was like, man, that is steep.
You could also say the same for that famous missing Teamster whose name briefly escapes me.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Who's Jimmy Hoffa.
Jimmy Hoffa, yeah, who's like presumed entombed in the concrete that forms the foundation of like Giant Stadium or something like that.
Yeah.
So DefCon, a convention for fans of Def Leppard.
Exactly. That would be exactly. dang it, I can't do it.
You still trying to get there?
I'm becoming a nicer person, Ben. That's what it is. I posted this earlier, and I really do believe it, that if you are part of a culture. And when I say part of a culture, I mean like, for instance, sketch comedians.
Yeah.
Where a joke is more important than people's feelings. You will eventually reach an age where you feel bad about it. Like, about stuff that you said or did when you were younger.
Right.
I think. Eventually, you'll be like, oh man, that wasn't... And you and I have discussed it on the program before, where we reached that realization at one point in time, right before we went on. Thank you again.
That's
Michael Hayes for saving us.
That's a great story. Actually, it was Gavin Cummins who saved us.
Wait. No. I'm talking about Gavin Cummins saved us by telling us, right? But then because we changed the thing that we had rehearsed.
He saved us during the performance. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Oh, saved by two people. Gavin Cummins and Michael Hayes. No one would think that they could have become cops and pals, but I would see them in a buddy cop movie. I think it would work. I think Gavin would strike me as being sort of the more old school guy, and Michael would be sort of the rookie. But now we're all old, Ben.
Well, Michael would be the rookie firebrand who wants to go in guns blazing.
That's what I would say, yeah, for sure.
Regardless of how old he is, he could be, you know, 45, 46, a rookie on the force.
Yeah.
And all he knows about policing is what he learns in movies.
Oh, man. One thing that I will say about Michael Hayes is that he explained something one time. He was playing a concert. Remember, I think you were there, the concert kind of in Georgetown, in like somebody's garage or something. Not like in somebody's garage, but like a garage like you would
fix
cars.
Yeah, it was like a workshop in a reclaimed warehouse.
Yeah. And he was like, I only have one word for you people, latency. And what it was is that his keyboard was hooked through so many things that it would be like a half second off.
Yeah.
When he would hit the button. So he was having to do all this math in his head to play his stuff and keep it. And he was doing it. That's the thing, is that he pointed it out, but he was actually working it out very, very well.
I don't remember that part. I do remember that concert. And calling it a concert, I think, is being generous. It was generous. It was a private performance for friends.
Yes, true, true, true.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, there was, like, a cooler of beer in the corner and, you know, stay away from the walls because there were sharp things that could hurt.
Yep, yep. I remember that. I remember feeling very lucky and felt cool that they invited us to go and see that. That was, it was pretty neat.
I remember McCandless being there too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I miss the days when you and me and McCandless could just hang out.
Yeah. Well, you know, at some point in time,
somebody had to go and move to Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Oh my gosh. What was that band? Is it Ka-Thunk? Or Ka-Chunk? Or...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we went to that, too, and that was pretty awesome.
That was stressful.
Ka-Kunk? Oh, you did,
is that it? Ka-Kunk?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You thought it was stressful?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't realize that during their war protest and... Their allegory of not their allegory, their demonstration of this country's dependence on foreign oil. They were going to be throwing chocolate syrup on the audience.
Oh,
and
well.
I was wearing clothes, and I had a I had a hat that I was wearing. I did not want to get chocolate syrup on.
Now, it is important. You mentioned that you were wearing clothes because some of the people at the concert weren't.
They were no, they and were wearing that, the chocolate syrup.
That was a little stressful because, as you know, I am a square.
trying to live in this round hole of a city.
Oh, that reminds me. There is a dust up in the military community. Someone from the National Guard got, like, I think discharged, I want to say. And the person who gave her the oath of office was, or the oath, who administered the oath, was demoted because they allowed her to do her swearing in wearing a dinosaur hand puppet.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, 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 yeah. There's a picture of it on Twitter right now, I think.
Did she just forget to take the dinosaur hand puppet off? Or?
No, I think that they all thought it was funny when they did it because they were having a good time. And this is when I realized that I'm kind of a square because I was like, no, I could see how you would want to do that, demote somebody and kick them out and all that.
Because they're
in the same time,
they're making
though,
a mockery sorry, of our celebrations.
Or what? But at the same time, my I want to be a cool guy factor also goes, yeah, if everybody was kind of cool with it, that's one thing. But then when you think of the people who have died in the service of their country and things like that,
yeah.
It gets a little, I mean, it's,
I've never been sworn in as a military member. I didn't even realize you did that, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You do. You take an oath. You
take an oath. All right. So, yeah, I can see how it's a solemn occasion. You don't want to make light of it.
Yep.
You are taking,
I could also see myself
taking on a burden.
20 years ago, thinking that would be a thing that I should do. One of the reasons why the Scientologist saw me coming from a mile off and totally got me. Because they were like, hey, guess what? Not everything's funny. And I'm like, what? And they're like, you heard me. And I was like, oh, no. And yeah, yeah, yeah. I still, to this day, contend that if you are a bad person and need a new personality, they will give you one that might actually be better than the one you've got.
Better?
But
really?
That is, yeah, it's, here, I'm telling you, it's, I mean, you
in
have
whose
to
opinion?
Be, societies. You have to be, like, totally messed up, though, in order for it to be better. Probably, I would say. But yeah.
okay.
Yeah, this is another Dane Cook situation.
Are you defending the Scientologists, sir?
I am. I've seen enough. Yeah, I can understand where this is very rocky territory. But
like where the wife of the founder has gone missing and nobody said anything, that kind of rough.
Gone missing or transcended to a higher plane of consciousness. Who's to say?
Again, it all depends on who you ask.
Exactly. Don't ask me. Like, no, I don't want to weigh in on that. There's Amanda Lund and Maria Vlasucci have a podcast called The Big Ones, where they ask their guests, who are funny people, Paul F. Tompkins is on one of them, questions that
do you have like a Google
really,
alert
really...
for him or something?
No, it's just that he happens to be on everything. And so when I listen to it, he's on there. Look, I am a huge fan of his, and you know this.
I do.
I have to think that that something went right in the world that he is so accessible to listen to things and all that. But anyway, he's on. So it's really interesting to listen to these funny, smart, quick people really wrestling with moral quandaries. Like one of them is, you're a teacher, and you have just expelled a student for a zero tolerance plagiarism law, right?
Yeah.
A rule in the school. Zero tolerance for plagiarism.
You get caught once, you're
out. And then, right, exactly. And then a student that you really hoped would do well and you've been rooting for and you've been helping, she plagiarizes something. What do you do? And so then you have, you know, the entire episode is them talking about it. The other one... is Punch Up the Jam. This I've been listening to lately. There's a woman named Miel. I think that's how it's pronounced. And Electro Lemon, Demi, who I've talked about in the past. They have a podcast where they talk about songs, like a specific song. So the one I listened to had... Mara Wilson, is that right? We talked about last time.
Yeah, Matilda.
Yeah, exactly. She was on it, talking about Semi-Charmed Life. So they talk about it for a while, and then they, in the end, they redo the song, or they do something different with the song. And it's pretty cool.
If,
mashups,
if,
maybe.
If we're talking about things that we've enjoyed recently, I've recently gotten into watching clips of interviews of Gary Shandling on YouTube from, I think it's like Emmy Legends or something like that. But it's just, you know, he's just sitting down being really candid about things that have gone on in his life. And it reminded me of this documentary that HBO released, produced by Judd Apatow, called The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling.
Oh, yeah, I heard
and
about
I watched,
this.
And I watched part one last night. And it's really fascinating because, you know, I'm 42, you're 45, I think. And, like, I still think that, you know, we still have a lot to accomplish in our lives, but there's also we have a lot that we haven't accomplished in our lives when compared to people like Gary Shandling, who like decided to stop doing the Gary Shandling show when he turned 40.
Yeah. Oh wow. Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah. So, and it was interesting. It's a lot of fun if you're into Gary Shandling or like any of his properties, like It's the Gary Shandling Show or the Larry Sanders Show, which I guess they focus on in episode 2 because I haven't gotten there yet. Check it out. It's on HBO. But there's one thing that they do So it's called The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling, and they show... Yep. I don't want to say they're actual pages from his diaries or probably recreations, but it's in this Gary Shandling type handwriting. And it is, I forget how hard it is to read handwriting these days because I'm so used to 12 point Times New Roman for everything or Cambria Arial or Helvetica. I don't read handwriting well. And it's frustrating.
You know, it's like trying to read an analog clock. We started going back to it, but for a while when everything was digital, it's like, I don't know what time it is.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, this is an interesting thing that you brought up about how he quit It's Gary Shandling Show when he was 40. There was this motivational thing that somebody posted, and they said... hey, if you think you haven't accomplished everything in life, don't worry. So-and-so didn't do this until they were 32.
Right.
This guy didn't do this until they were 30.
Yeah.
This guy didn't do this until he was 33. You've got tons of time left. And I'm like, hold on. Wait.
Yeah. We talked about this last week, I think, or the week before, where we were discussing how we should not compare ourselves to people who have already achieved a certain level of fame at our age.
That's right. Yes. The one thing also is you mentioned Judd Apatow. He apparently did an interview with Harry Anderson that's really good. I thought we might as well mention Harry Anderson died recently.
Yeah.
Also, and he was a big influence on me. He had a book called Games You Can't Lose it was either Games You Can't Win, Games You Can't Lose, or Games You Can't Lose. I think, because this is what I mean by this, there may be a chapter in Games You Can't Lose called Games You Can't Win, or the other way around. I don't know which is which. But in it, he talks about how playing the lottery is great if you want to give money away to charity.
Right.
But how you will never win the lottery.
That's how I fund my local schools, is I just play the lottery.
Exactly.
I liked Night Court growing up. It was one of my favorite shows. But whenever I think of Harry Anderson, there's one thing, one small moment that he had in the ABC miniseries of Stephen King's It that I'll always remember. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
All right, well,
I haven't seen either of them.
I haven't seen the new one, but I watched the miniseries when it was on TV. So who knows, like 92 maybe? I can't remember. But anyway, he plays like the class clown who grows up to be, you know, like the actor. And, and it's a real like Robin Williams kind of moment, I guess, looking back on what people have said about Robin Williams, how he was like the sad clown where, he's about to reunite with his friends from his childhood, because the monster is back. And before he walks into the room, he like takes a moment to himself and he's like, all right, I can't remember his character's name. I'm just going to call him Harry. He's like, all right, Harry, you can do this. You can do this. It's okay. It's okay. And he's like psyching himself up. And then he walks in and he's like, hey, everybody, how's it going? Is that old derriere smell in the air? You know, he turns it on. And you wouldn't know that he was actually just like outside, like dreading this moment. And I feel that way a lot where, you know, right before I have to do something, it's just in a casual social situation, I have to turn it on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and there's a thing that, again, we talk about this often, you and I waiting to go on and it seeming like it takes forever for the act before us to do stuff.
Right.
Because we're just stuck in that place where you can't see it, but I've got my hand and I'm vibrating it kind of where it's like, we have to go and do this thing, but we can't sustain our amplitude.
Right.
For as long as this person is taking, I'm going to have to psych myself up again. Before they're done. Oh, and then afterwards, I mean, you know this. there were I there's a term that I've just been acquainted with called the Irish goodbye,
Okay.
where you leave without saying anything to anybody.
Otherwise known as ghosting.
Ghosting is the other thing. Where eventually I got over it. There were times when I could actually hang out afterwards and we would
Right.
talk and all that.
Yeah.
And other people would come up and all that. But I used to hate it when the show that I was in was over. Because everybody else would go on and do stuff and I wouldn't want to. I'd want to just go and be alone or whatever.
Right.
So for the times that I was working nights and we would actually go do the show and then I would leave and work for 8 hours
Yeah.
was
I
great
remember
because
those.
I had to
You
leave
had an excuse to
before the
leave.
show was over. Exactly.
Speaking of the act before you taking a long time, there was an incident at last month's Spin the Bottle where a solo performer told Catherine that they were only going to be 5, maybe 7 minutes, and they
Oh
went
no.
half an hour.
No. Okay.
If it wasn't 30 minutes, it was between 25 and 30 minutes. I swear to God, it never ended.
Let me ask you a question because we've been in situations like this before. Spin the Bottle, a variety show that Ben and I were regular performers at. Oftentimes, when people go on for a really long time, it's not because they have material
Right.
that lasts that long. They have some sort of a generative thing that just keeps on going.
Yeah.
Did this person have a half an hour's worth of
This
material,
was
or was it?
it was an unstructured monologue, and so
Okay.
but at the last panel jumper, we had an act go twice as long as they should have, but it was because they're being fed by the audience.
Ah.
So there were a couple of clowns, and they just kept, clowns, if they're getting stuff, they will give stuff. And so they went super long.
There was a group that I don't remember their names, but they were physical comedy improvisers kind of. They would do movements and it's very hard to describe. I loved them. I think that other people maybe had problems with them in the audience, but they also went on for quite a bit. Because everyone's like, are they just going to keep on doing this? Is this what their act is?
Can this
But
sustain
I
for
really liked it.
15 minutes?
Exactly. Hey, speaking of can this sustain for 15 minutes, it's time for corrections. And I understand, if I may paraphrase, it ain't the first time and it won't be the last, but I'm in that doghouse again.
Uh-oh.
My wife told me in no uncertain terms that she now knows more about Elon Musk than she ever wanted to. And she said that she couldn't help editorialize. I would like you to read as much as possible. Because if she took the time to write it, I'd like it to be on. But I understand, depending on how upset she is with what she's researching, that we may need to edit some for the family-friendly content that we are. This is the thing that people may not know about, but you have to mark on iTunes if your show is for mature audiences only. I don't know how it
Yeah.
works exactly, but that's correct, yeah?
Well, I think there's a gray line between what constitutes a mature subject matter versus
Yeah.
the F word.
Yes.
Because everyone.
Which do they not want?
I think you.
Probably the F word more than.
Well, no, I think if you. It's not marked mature, it's marked explicit.
Okay.
That's the tag that iTunes gives you. And
Gotcha.
I think if you have like an occasional F word or S word, you
Okay.
don't need to mark it as explicit. But if it's like a relationship advice type podcast, then
Gotcha,
yes, you mark
yeah.
it as explicit. But for this kind of thing,
Or like, hey man, these are the best drugs to buy from
exactly.
a
I
cop
think there's
or whatever.
other rules regarding that.
So So, to explain to the people, corrections. Here's the deal. We talked about a couple of podcasts already here, and each of them, as you notice, have some sort of a gimmick. We do not have one, but one sort of came up organically when I was complaining at one point in time that people think they're smarter than they are because they can look stuff up on Google. And so the idea was that we would start trying to answer questions without using Google, and then the next time we would have corrections for what we got wrong. And what we learned very quickly is that we didn't need to set ourselves up by asking questions because we get stuff wrong all the time through just our general talking. And so we ask that our listeners write to Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com.
That is correct.
Right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And give us their or your, if you're the one listening, corrections to the show. And we get corrections from a lot of different people. Our friend Stephen McCandless has sent in corrections. Jose Almador from Jose and the Hawk has sent corrections. But by and large, the lion's share of corrections comes from my favorite corrections person, my wife, Jennifer Pratt.
Also,
and Ben, did she send corrections
today?
She did.
Yes, she did. You already knew she did because you told me to read all of it.
Yeah, I know, but that's something.
But
that
a footnote to mentioning Jose Amador from Jose and the Hawk, just mentioning that Jose and the Hawk is from The Panel Jumper.
Oh yes.
So
that's right.
Yeah, we were talking about Elon Musk. Apparently, Jennifer had to do some research, and this will be the end of our discussion of Elon Musk, but it's not that much.
Okay.
She says he was born in Pretoria, South Africa, in June of 1971. So you were right about that. You thought that he was born, he's South African. At 18, he and his family moved to Canada, and they were granted Canadian citizenship. So, and then she says, somehow he also has an American citizenship as of 2002. So he has triple citizenship because probably nothing to do with being an insane billionaire.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So,
there you go. And that's all there is about Elon Musk. Now, there was...
Oh, really?
There was... we also talked about public school funding and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and how they contribute to public schools. She says the Bill
Do they? I suspected that they did, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, she says that's what they... the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gave Seattle Public Schools $25.9 million to, quote, create a model school district. So, you know, here's all the money you need. Show us how it's done, kind of thing, I'm assuming.
Gotcha.
SPS, Seattle Public Schools, Seattle Public Schools have been held in contempt of Congress for not properly funding schools. And this is the U.S. Congress, not the Washington State Congress.
Wow.
They could not meet even the most basic guidelines for staffing, faculty, and administration. She says $25.9 million is a pittance, so I don't know if it's just misappropriation or if $25.9 is not even the amount they needed. To create a model school district is both vague and specific. So Seattle Public Schools probably has to use the funds according to specific restrictions, not for like new school books or maintenance, more like interactive whiteboards, Wi-Fi, tablets, child-directed learning, field trips to the Gates Foundation Center on Mercer. Zing! guess which public school the Gates kids attended? None. They went to UCDS, as little as, and then to Lakeview, which is a well-known private school here. I don't know what UCDS is. Their dad and grandpa's alma mater. Probably because they're geniuses and got scholarships. I'm guessing this is more editorializing.
Yeah, I would think so.
There was one other grant given to an elementary school on April 17, 27 for $225. Not $225. She has both $225 and $255. I'm going to go with the larger one. So for they were given this grant for $255, not $255,000, $255 for basic supplies, and I just can't even.
Wow.
Here ends the editorializing. You know, I just finished watching The Wire, and, you know, that TV show is ended over 10 years ago. But yeah, they do have the one season that focuses on how underfunded the public schools are. And I'm guessing that it's not, that's not specific to only Baltimore, that that sort of situation runs rampant everywhere.
I'm sure that is true.
And finally, we were talking about Gremlins. Gremlins was directed by Joe Dante. Or Dante.
Aha!
Joe Dante.
I got that one right.
And the evil gremlin was Stripe, not Spike. Which, you got that one right. I thought it might have been Spike, but you said he was Stripe.
I was pretty sure it was Stripe. I read the novelization,
Yeah. I
don't know if I've ever actually seen the movie. That's crazy to think about now.
I saw the movie, like, it was probably a VHS copy my sister rented for one of her birthday parties when we were kids, and I probably begged my dad to let me stay up and watch it, and I probably got so scared that I went back into my room during the movie, because I remember some of the movie, but not all of the movie.
Oh, man. This is going to drive me nuts, though. Gremlins was actually supposed to be a movie based on something else, and I can't remember what it was. Like a different story, and it became Gremlins.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
it's not,
man.
Like Gremlins is an allegory for something else.
No. It was supposed to be Gremlins was supposed to be based on. Oh gosh, what was it? I don't remember. Anyway,
moving on.
I'll have to figure it out, and then I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I finally bought something today that I should have bought 10 years ago.
Let me know what it is.
A carton of milk. No. here at Annex, we are close to the radio broadcast towers. They're just down the street on. Oh, my God. What is that street name? Anyway, they're down the street.
Denny?
No, not on Denny. Up top of the hill on Capitol Hill. Oh, that's going to drive me nuts.
15th.
No.
It's
a primary 23rd? East-west arterial that sort of goes northeast to south. Anyway, it's not a big deal.
Madison?
Madison. Thank you very much.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it is Madison.
I did it. Yay. The only reason I thought about it is that Madison Market is near those towers.
Yeah, Madison Market. And so because those towers are there, we have a lot of RF interference here at the theater. And so every once in a while,
yes.
Well, actually, quite often, I can hear KUOW coming out of my desk speakers here. And if I'm recording
something. We talked about this just last episode.
Yeah, we did.
In fact.
And if I'm doing a film shoot on stage, I often get KUOW through the XLR cables I'm using to record audio, which is really annoying. So.
Oh, dang.
I finally bought a box of ferrite beads. Do you know what ferrite beads are?
No. Actually, how do you spell it?
They're actually ferrite clamps. F-E-R-R-I-T-E. So
cool.
They're little clamps that are supposed to block this RF interference. So they're only about an inch long, and I bought a box of multiple sizes because I had no idea what size I needed, and it was really cheap, like $10. And you put these clamps on the cables, and it keeps the RF interference from interfering. It keeps the RF
from
interfering.
Oh, that is crazy.
And I don't know. See, that's the thing. I don't know if I'm using them correctly because there's one cable I have, the audio cable that goes from my mixer to the speakers, and it's the one where, like, if I move it, then the RF goes away.
Oh,
and
right.
Then it'll come
okay.
back. So I put the clamp on that, and there was still a little bit of interference coming in, so I put a clamp on the electrical, on the power cable to the speakers, and so it's mostly gone away. It's just going to take some more trial and error, but I don't know why it took me so long to buy these little things.
Well, you know, it's one of those, I'm guessing that you didn't have, like, tons of money all the time just sitting around.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
You're probably, like, you know, a little flush, and you're like, hey, finally getting that thing. Like, we're buying a couch.
You're buying a couch?
Oh, we've bought a couch. Okay, this is the thing, is we've bought a couch
Okay.
But the couch won't be delivered until May 7th. So right now, we have kind of a an idea of a couch.
Is it? Did you buy like a leather sectional?
No. See, okay, this is the... I almost hate to bring it up, but this will allow... I am doing a thing where I'm allowing Jennifer to correct me about this. The couch that we bought is a smaller couch.
At least,
I don't know
at least
what...
tell me it's got like USB ports in the armrests or something like or a,
it,
like
it
a cooler.
No.
Dang it, you disappoint me, Paul.
It's a smaller couch that would definitely fit. There was a couch that Jennifer wanted that I felt was uncomfortable, and it was more expensive. And Betty and I kind of lobbied for this couch, and she relented. Now, here's the thing. The other couch, the larger couch, we wouldn't be able to afford this time anyway. So I don't feel as bad about that.
Am I going to get a correction next week outlining the exact argument that went down in the Goody Pratt household about this couch?
I don't know exactly, but I feel like it's not something I should try to gloss over or hide, because she did us a solid by agreeing to the lesser couch, and I appreciate it very much.
Does this mean you have forsaken the love sack lifestyle?
Yeah, the love sack was taken away. Taken away by the...
By men in uniform?
By the garbage thing. We had a flea situation.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you remember us telling you about that or not.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Apparently, love sacks, if the fleas get into them,
oof,
that's
yeah.
it. They're just a flea habitat.
It's a, that seems like a healthy breeding ground for that kind of thing.
Yes, indeed. Weird, healthy breeding ground, bleeding ground. Oh my god,
the bleeding
no, that's
ground.
Not what we want to have happen. Oh boy, Ben,
Paul,
guess what?
What's that?
Hey, Betty!
Oh god, really? Boy, that's how yeah. we're just blown through nap time.
Now it's gonna be interesting because you know she can get kind of less interested. Hey, Betty.
Hiya.
Here you go. This is your headphones. So Betty has had some tough days recently.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel? Was today better or worse than yesterday?
Better.
Better.
Way better.
That's good. Betty had been going to, and I don't know if she still is, garden club.
Today garden club was canceled.
Oh no, why was it canceled? Did they say?
Heck if I know.
Yeah.
What do you do in garden club?
Plant things.
Yeah. Both literally and also that's the action that she takes.
All right.
She plants things.
Might have been looking for more of an explanation, but that's cool. Plant things.
Garden Club would be next Thursday also, but it's Take Your Child to Work Day.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, there's also Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. It's Garden Club on Tuesday also?
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, Betty, did you take that permission form, by the way?
Yeah. The attendance office said, oh, yeah, you're doing that, and then she just folded it and put it somewhere.
So that's that's as long as she wasn't not breaking eye contact, just looking at you, crumpling it up, and then tossing it into the trash can. We're doing all right.
Yeah, she said that she'll put it on her record or something.
Yeah, so Betty is going to come with me to my work.
Excellent. Is this an all day thing, or is it just for like the morning?
Will you do something similar to the business presentation that you had last year?
Oh shoot, I got to work on that actually. Not really, but, I might talk a little bit about something. I forgot that I told work that I was going to make, like a little presentation thing. I completely haven't done it yet.
Okay, well, then just go and think it out this week.
Yeah, it's going to be more boring because they're telling me to do it, so I have to get them to like it. The thing that I did before was... I was just like, this is what business is.
Everything has
to
be approved.
This is a dinosaur. What's that?
Everything has to be approved.
Yeah. But, you know, it should probably work out pretty well.
Well, I mean,
and then after that, Betty has a bank.
You can just point them to this podcast and say, as proof that they don't need to worry about you divulging company secrets.
Yep. Wait, Betty's leaving.
I'm going to play some Overwatch.
She's going to play some Overwatch. Betty has a band concert. And have I told you the story already about how Jennifer and I missed Betty's band concert?
You did tell me that story, but I first heard about it. Actually, no, you didn't tell me that story. I saw that on Twitter, and then I was, I think I mentioned something to Betty about it on a Yelling for Betty, and she yelled really loudly.
Yeah, it was bad. We dropped her off at 6:30. We thought that it started at 7:30, but it actually started at 7, and we showed up at 7:30, and it was bad.
What?
And we were bad.
Were you, like, off shopping, or what? Dinner?
We were running errands and stuff like that, and then we showed up, and we were like, wow, everybody's here already. Thinking that we were, you know, right on time or a little bit early, and nope.
Oops.
So next Thursday... I'm telling you this also because we may need to reschedule.
Okay.
Because it's at 7 on Thursday. So maybe we'll skip to a different day.
Yeah, just let me know what works for you. I think I'm open all week.
Okay, yeah. I'll figure it out and I'll let you know. It's a good thing we talked about it.
Yeah.
Ben.
Good thing everybody knows, because it doesn't really matter to the listener when we record
making plans. Yeah, exactly. They and I know that you said to the listener, like, in a personable sort of way, not that we only have one listener. Speaking about which, what are we up to now, Ben? What's our total?
I don't know. Last time I looked at our download stats, we each episode gets downloaded about 10 to 15 times a week. Like, I'm not, like, you know, it doesn't accumulate. Like, you know, each episode is downloaded about 10 to 15 times and that's it. There's no like long tail for this.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But our subscriber metrics lead me to believe that we have 30 to 35 subscribers.
Okay.
So I'm not quite sure. I think some of these are like people who've subscribed to the show on iTunes, but then don't listen, and so iTunes stops downloading it. So it's still it's still counted as a subscriber, but they're not downloaded.
Exactly. That makes sense. That is a behavior that I have seen on my own iTunes.
Yeah. See, I'm looking at our FeedBurner stats right now, and it says we have 39 subscribers. But if I look at our total downloads from where the show is hosted, it's only, you know, a dozen or so a week. So I don't get it.
Gotcha. But still a dozen.
Yeah.
A dozen.
And
hey.
I'm wondering if I don't know anybody who listens to the show.
Yeah, I know. I think about that sometimes, too. Because I think you and I are of the same page. Maybe. This has been sort of our career. I would rather have 12 people that like us than be listened to by 500 people and have 20 people hate us.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does make sense. You know, because, you know, you want to be Paul, friend of the world.
Exactly. Oh, man. Can you imagine if there's, like, one guy who hate listens to us? We would actually, I think we would want to win that guy over somehow.
Isn't that Joe Garden's job?
No, Joe Garden, this is the thing. Joe Garden hates the format. He doesn't hate us. There's a difference. And also, I basically, this is the thing, is I would feel really, really bad if Joe Garden didn't listen to my podcast, right?
Yeah.
Unless it was a format that he absolutely hated, in which case, doesn't need to listen to it, and I'm happy that he doesn't.
Right.
That's the way to do it, Ben. I tell you what.
Speaking of, oh gosh, coughing.
What?
Speaking of what?
Yeah.
It's about that time.
Hey,
man.
Paul. It is about that time. Hey, we're getting close. We got 2 more seconds. Oh my God.
Oh God, what are we gonna do? Well, right. I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna keep it wrong.
I'm gonna keep it wrong too. And I hope you do the same.
Thanks, Ben. I really think that I will.
All right.
And
yeah.
Now I will somehow stop this podcast.
All right. And let me know when you want to hook up again next week, and we'll make it happen.
Yeah. I'll send you some text or something.
All right. Do that. All right.
Thanks, Ben.
Yep. Thanks, Paul.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Yep. Talk to you later.
Right. Yep. Bye.
Bye. Okay.